So last week, friends, I was doing some work with the Foundry Youth Center, and I met this woman who introduced herself as a counselor and as a life coach. And I've met counselors before, and I've met life coaches before, but I've never met somebody who introduced themselves as a counselor and as a life coach as though they were two distinct and different things. And so I was curious, and so I asked her, what is the difference between a counselor and a life coach? And she gave me a very thorough answer. But here's the summary of what she said, is that a counselor primarily works with people through the issues from their past, and a life coach is primarily processing through hopes and dreams and plans for the future. So a counselor may be, you know, preparing or working with somebody now about the things that have happened in their past, the issues that have come up in their past, whereas a coach is working with somebody now, but the work that's being done right now is really mostly focused towards the future. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Same person committed to the same big picture goal, which is helping people, but very conscious of the fact that she is wearing two different hats. Sometimes she's a counselor, and sometimes she's a life coach. Sometimes she's working with people right here and right now, mostly about things that have happened in the past, and other times she's working with people right here, right now, mostly about things that are going to happen in the future. Okay, we'll come back to that. If you're new with us or have not been here with us the last couple weeks, we're several weeks into a series, a Pentecost series. It's called We Believe in the Holy Spirit, and essentially it's a series of teachings on the ramifications of that belief, the ramifications of the fact that we believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians, since the very beginning, have believed in the Holy Spirit. From the first page of the Bible to the first day of the Christian church, which is Pentecost Sunday, Christians have believed in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has been a major player. We've been asking, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in our lives here and now today? Last week, I talked about the Holy Spirit as the Spirit who comforts. The Spirit is not you. The Spirit is the Spirit of God who is, however, who is in you and comforting you in the face of troubles. The Spirit is comforting you now in the face of troubles from your past, maybe even troubles that you're currently facing. In some ways, the Spirit who comforts is like a counselor. In fact, we talked a little bit last week about how the word that's translated into comforter can also be translated counselor. This is so meaningful. I'm so grateful for this work of the Holy Spirit that comforts me. Why am I grateful for that? Because am I not troubled? All right, I'm facing troubles all of the time, so I'm so grateful for a chance or for the work of the Spirit as a comforter or a counselor. Today, I'm going to talk about another major work of the Holy Spirit, which, as Melissa said, is the guidance of the child of God. Today, I'll talk about the Spirit who guides. And this is the work of the Spirit that is distinctly future-focused. So much like a counselor is helping somebody process the events of their past, the Spirit as a guide is charting the way, is directing the way forward. It's this distinctly future-focused work. And maybe you know something about this. Have you ever hired a guide, like a fishing guide or a hunting guide? Not yet. How about a tour guide? A couple of tour guides? Okay. Have you ever bought a guidebook? Anyone? Yeah. So sometimes we face situations and we think, man, wouldn't it be great to have some guidance right about now? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And if I had some guidance, I sure would appreciate it. And then there's times where we're in a worse situation or a new worse, and we're like, it's not just, guidance isn't just something we would appreciate right now. No, guidance is essential. I don't even know the next step to take. I've never been here before. I'm completely out of my element. Guidance is not just, oh, that'd be nice. No, guidance is critical need. I need guidance right now. I think about the times when I've traveled by myself in another country. where not just the language has been different, but even the alphabet is different. Even the symbols on the signs I don't even recognize. They're all shapes that I've never seen before. Times I've been completely out of my depth, completely out of my league, completely out of my comfort zone. I have needed a guide. I've noticed three things about myself when I need a guide. I'm going to share them with you. Here's the first one. Without any guidance, I am super cautious. And that's weird for me, because that's not the way I live. But without a guide, in a new place, I am super cautious. I move slowly. I am not as effective as I could be. There's very little boldness in me when I'm in a situation where I need guidance and I have none. I've been places for several days at a time without a guide, where I have needed a guide, and I have found that I am consumed with the basics of survival. Like, where am I gonna eat? Where am I gonna sleep? And that's about as much as I can handle without a guide. A lot of energy goes into being in the right place at the right time. Second thing I've noticed about myself, no guidance, man, I'm super cautious. If I have a little bit of guidance, like from a guidebook, I can kind of figure things out. I can figure some basic things out. I once hiked for several days through the Umbrian Mountains in Italy, and I literally carried with my thumb in the right page, I'm hiking and carrying a little guidebook because I needed it. I'd never been there. I was on this series of little single track trails and backcountry roads and crossing certain pastures that were okay and other pastures that weren't. I literally was like taking this guidebook, and I was really relying on it. The guidebook gave me the confidence that I needed to hike for several days through totally unfamiliar territory. So the guidebook was helpful. It was helpful. It was, put it this way, it was better than nothing. Without it, I would have been completely lost. With it, I eventually found my way. Here's the third thing I've noticed about myself in guidance. When I'm with someone who is actively guiding me, who knows the language, knows the culture, knows what's over that hill, knows what's around that corner, understands what food you can eat, don't eat food from that place, what risks are worth taking, what risks you definitely should not take. When I'm being actively, strongly guided by someone, I am present. I'm like, yep, I'm just following you. You can make the decisions. I'm just going to follow you. I'm paying attention to people. I'm noticing things. I'm listening well. I'm super engaged in the moment. I'm enjoying myself. I'm not just stressed out. And I'm really effective. That's what I've noticed. No guidance, super cautious, Nathan. A little bit of guidance, some guidance, I can figure it out, but I'm spending most of my energy just trying to not get lost. And then if I have really strong guidance, you should see me. I am crossing the Omo Valley in southern Ethiopia like a man. I mean, right? Remember this? I'm climbing up these cotton candy waterfalls in Thailand like I know what I'm doing, right? I am exploring ancient Christian burial sites underneath St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. I mean, come on. I'm eating the good food, not the touristy junk. I'm eating the really authentic Nicaraguan food, the good stuff, right? When I have strong guidance. In other words, I'm fully freed up when I'm being guided to experience the goodness of life. I'm seeing a significant difference in life. I'm making a significant difference in life instead of just struggling through and trying to survive life. Now, when it comes to really important parts of our life, like, say, parenting, which is just on my mind pretty consistently, when it comes to really important parts of my life or your life, it feels a lot, friends, like we're just trying to survive. Anybody feel like that? It feels a lot like we're just trying not to blow it, trying not to go the wrong way, not to cause a bunch of damage, and not to get lost. So here's the question that I'm asking this morning. What if the Spirit who hovered over the waters as the universe was spoken into being, what if the Spirit who guided Jesus through the desert for his 40 days of temptation What if the Spirit who led Paul through his missionary journeys as he planted church all over Europe, what if that same Spirit could guide you? What if the Holy Spirit could guide you through the everyday, through the challenges, through the most important things in your life? What if the Spirit could show you the way to go? What if the Spirit could tell you what to say and what not to say? What if the Spirit could give you a strong sense of direction so you know what to do and what not to do? All right, let's lean into this together. Here's one of the things that Jesus says to his disciples as he's teaching them initially about the Holy Spirit. This is John chapter 16. This is what Jesus says. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And get this, he will tell you what is yet to come. Have you noticed that before? He will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus is explaining that the work of the Spirit in the lives of the followers of Jesus is a distinctly forward-facing work. He will guide you. That's talking about your future. He will tell you what is yet to come. It's talking about what you don't know yet, but he does, because you haven't been there yet, but the Spirit is there. And as we read how early Christians relate to the Holy Spirit, we see all kinds of ways that they relate to the Spirit, all kinds of roles, in other words, that the Holy Spirit plays in the lives of the Holy Spirit, ways that they are guided by the Spirit. But let me highlight this morning just two big ways that the Spirit has guided and continues to guide Christians, okay? Two big ways, as we're talking about today, two ways the Spirit guides the Christian. First, let's just call this guidance for the big picture. That's the first thing, guidance for the big picture. This is big vision guidance. This is critical issue, kind of ultimate issue guidance. This is mission of God guidance that Christians receive from the Holy Spirit. I want to give you two examples of this big vision, ultimate issues kind of guidance. One is from Paul, and he's talking about the wisdom of God. Okay, that's a big picture issue, the wisdom of God. Here's what Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul writes, among the mature, however, we speak a message of wisdom, not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of the mysterious and hidden wisdom of God, which he destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Rather, as it is written, and now he's going to quote Isaiah, this prophet from like 900 years before Paul, who writes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And here's the zinger. Ready? Paul says this, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Wow. The prophet says, no, this kind of wisdom is beyond us. The mysterious wisdom of God, The wisdom of God, the glory predestined for the children of God, it's beyond us. We can't see it. We can't hear it. We can't even imagine it. Paul says, yeah, but the Spirit revealed it to us. Okay. Now, what's so remarkable about this, it's more than like, hey, check us out. We're so spirit. That's not what it is. It's the distinction that Paul is making between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. Because there's all these voices talking about the wisdom of the world is like pop culture values, right? So in our culture, it's stuff like those who look out for themselves will climb to the top of the ladder. Those who climb to the top of the ladder will earn more money, make more money. They'll be able to get the stuff they want. Those who get the stuff they want, they're the ones that are going to be happy. That's kind of the wisdom of our world. My point here is that there are all sorts of voices sharing that wisdom. There's just, it's kind of like our pop culture wisdom. There's just one voice whispering a different kind of wisdom. The wisdom of God that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined. Not the kinds of pleasure that can be gained through wealth and acquisition of things, but the kind of wisdom that is revealed, like Paul says, revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Paul says, it has been revealed to us by the Spirit. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us in the big picture is by revealing the wisdom of God as opposed to the wisdom of the world. Here's a second way the Holy Spirit guides us in the big picture, not just showing us the wisdom of God, but revealing to us the mission of God. A really powerful example of this is when the Holy Spirit shows Peter that God accepts people of all races. Okay. It's a long story. It's told in Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11, where non-Jewish people come to Peter, who's a good Jewish boy who's embraced Jesus as Messiah. These non-Jews come to Peter and they say, would you please teach us about Jesus? Would you come to our house and teach us about Jesus? This is really challenging for Peter because Peter's assumption is that Jesus is the savior of the Jews, that Jesus has come for the Jews. It's just his worldview. He hasn't really had to push outside of his culture, his worldview. He goes to the house. And then he witnesses these non-Jewish people not just embrace Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Peter and all his Jewish buddies were a few weeks ago at Pentecost. Here's what Peter says about this experience. This is Acts chapter 10, in case you want to find it. Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. My point is that this is revealed to Peter by the Holy Spirit. The mission of God. This has always been the mission of God. A few prophets gesture in this direction. A few are pretty explicit about this. Nobody seems to really pick it up. And now this is revealed graphically to Peter as he sees these non-Jewish Jesus embracers, these non-Jewish Christians being filled with the Spirit just like he and all his buddies were a couple weeks later. Peter returns to Jerusalem and it's like Jewish headquarters there. And so of course he's going to get criticized. Here's the criticism. You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them. If you kind of smell a little racist tone there, you're on it. That's exactly what's going on there. You went into the home of uncircumcised men. That's a pretty impolite way of referring to a non-Jewish person. And you ate with them. These are Christians that are saying this, by the way. These are leaders of the Christian church. It's early in the Christian church, and we don't get it yet. We're not understanding the mission of God. We're assuming it's what we have always known, which is it's Jews. Peter retells the whole story of Acts 10 in Acts 11. It's long. Here's the punch. Chapter 11, verse 15. Peter gets to the punch of the story and says, as I began to speak, I'm in their house, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. He's talking about Jesus. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could stand in God's way? Here's the critic's response. When they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, so then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. What is happening? The big picture mission of God is being revealed by the Holy Spirit. So this is a story about God guiding people to a major shift in their mission. So we've seen so far that the Spirit leads in big picture ways, God's wisdom and God's mission, right? The wisdom of God revealed, the mission of God revealed. These are big picture truths, big picture ways. Finally, let me talk about a second way that the Spirit guides us. Not just in big picture ways towards the wisdom that is different from the wisdom of the world, the mission that may not jive with our personal culture, but also specific ways. The Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, guides us in specific ways, like where to go, where not to go, what to say, what not to say. Here's two examples of this. Acts 15, there's all these non-Jewish people becoming Christians. Okay? So what we have in the Christian community is this very young, immature, multicultural community. So people who were raised differently than one another are now trying to raise their kids together. You think that might be a little messy? You think you might have some parents arguing with some other parents about, say, dietary differences or even sexual ethics differences? And there's all kinds of stuff going on here. The Jewish Christians had always been a part of this deep, thick, consuming all of life tradition, right? Everything is made clear for you because you're Jewish. Why are you doing that? Because I'm Jewish. That's the answer. And then you've got these Gentile Christians who are brand new to all that Jewish stuff, all that Jewish story, all that Jewish history, and all the Jewish rules. So of course there's conflict. Of course there's disagreement. This is part of any community where people don't think, act, eat, talk, believe all exactly the same. It's true of any community, but it's definitely true of the church. So for the first time, these non-Jewish people are embracing Jesus. They're coming into the Christian church, and the apostles, who by the way were all Jewish, they have to get together and they have to decide, how are we going to move this thing forward? We have to distinguish. We need to pray for discernment to know what is essential and what is non-essential. Another way of putting that is, what is about Jesus and what of all that we're doing is really just about our own culture, right? In other words, some stuff we do is because we're Christian, and some stuff we do is because we're Hispanic or we're Irish or we grew up in Northern California and we've conflated the whole thing. We think it's all because we're Christian. No, it's not. Some of it's because you're Christian. Some of it's just cultural. So this is the task that the early apostles face head on. It's the first council. You've heard of the Second Vatican Council? This is the first council, the very first council. They meet for a while, they talk for a while, they pray for a while, and then they write a letter. They write a letter to all the churches, all these multicultural churches. And here's the opening line to the letter. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to not burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. And then they list the requirements. Is that not fascinating to you? That is fascinating to me. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You okay with that, Holy Spirit? How about you, Andrew? John, you still good, Holy Spirit? Okay, good. I don't know what that, I mean, it's incredible to me. So imagine you're wrestling with a parenting issue and with one of your kids, and you and your spouse, you talk about it, and then you pray about it, and imagine you get a strong enough sense from the Holy Spirit of the specific direction you're supposed to take, that you're actually able, whether you use the language or not, you're actually able to talk to your kid essentially saying, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Or maybe you're considering a move to another state. Or maybe you're considering changing jobs. Or maybe there's a decision you need to make about your finances. Or maybe there's a delicate relational issue. You're trying to navigate it. Or maybe there's a really intense and potentially explosive social issue. What if you could be guided by the Holy Spirit through really specific situations like these? Apparently, friends, that is the experience of the early Christians. That is the experience, that is the normative experience of the early Christians. They experience the Holy Spirit as the Spirit who guides in very specific situations. Here's one more example of the same thing. The Holy Spirit guiding through specific situations. Meanwhile, so in Jerusalem, the apostles are talking about. Do we eat meat that's been strangled? And do we have to be circumcised and all this stuff? And then meanwhile, Paul's out getting the work done and planting churches. And this is what Luke writes in Acts 16, the very next chapter in Acts. Listen to the verbs. After the Holy Spirit had prevented them from speaking the word in the province of Asia, they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not permit them. So they passed by Mysia and they went to Troas. I read this and I go, what? I mean, so Paul said, imagine this. Paul's like, hey, boys, we're going to Asia. And then the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. And, he's prevented. Luke's traveling with him at this point, and he is prevented from going where he thought he was supposed to go by the Holy Spirit. And they're like, oh, we were wrong. Let's go to Bithynia. And again, blocked by the Spirit of Jesus. So Acts 15, the council, Acts 16, the guidance of Paul's missionary journeys, both examples of real, specific, particular guidance from the Holy Spirit being constantly experienced by the early church. In other words, they are experiencing guidance in the realm of what should we do, where should we go, what should we say, what should we require, what should we say that's not really a big deal. I used to go to Lyle Dorset, my mentor in college and grad school. You're always making these big decisions in college and grad school. So I'd go to my mentor, I'd say, what do you think I should do? And I kept asking that question. And he would always say the same thing. It doesn't matter what I think you should do. Pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you so you know which way to go. And so I would pray to the Holy Spirit. I'd pray to God, please guide me. A few times I got a sense of what direction I should go. Most of the time I didn't. Most of the time I didn't get any sense of clarity at all. I'd go back to Lyle. I'd say, I don't know. I don't feel like he said anything to me. And so this is what he would say. He would say, so do the best you can, make the best decision you can, and pray that the Holy Spirit will block you if you are going the wrong way. Where did he get that crazy idea? From Acts chapter 16, right? Where Paul is blocked by the Holy Spirit from going somewhere, which for reasons way beyond my understanding, the Spirit decides to block him. I still struggle with discerning guidance from the Holy Spirit most of the time. But here's what has really genuinely sunk in, friends. I believe in the Spirit as the Spirit who guides, both in big picture ways, like revealing the wisdom of God to me, revealing the mission of God to me, and in really specific ways, like where we should spend our few weeks of vacation this year, how we should direct our income, what speaking opportunities I should take, where our kids should go to school, who we need to invest a lot of extra time with. And I'm grateful for the testimonies of the early church, which show that early Christians were guided by the Holy Spirit. Why am I grateful for that? Because I need guidance. Guidance is not something for which I'm just appreciative. Oh, how nice that you gave me. No, that's not where I am. I need guidance. I like the idea of God guiding my life so much that I want to believe that. Thankfully, I'm not making this stuff up. And this is what I'm reading. The earliest Christians tell story after story after story of being guided by the Holy Spirit. In big picture, mission ways, wisdom ways, and then also in really specific ways, like where to go, what to say, what to do. And that sounds strange to me and weird and mysterious and spiritual and so needed in my life today. So needed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray again to hear the guidance of the Spirit, to sense the guidance of the Spirit. And I invite you to just be as specific as you can be. Maybe you need wisdom on some big, huge issue, and maybe your afternoon plans are challenging to the point that you need guidance. So let's take a minute and pray.